So I was a child of the 70s. If you don't recognize, they're actually still going on from what I understand. My daughter, apparently a little while back, I forget what she got it for me for, some Father's Day, something. She bought me some Mad magazines that are still in print, apparently. I didn't realize that, but because I've kind of gotten away from that. But anyway, that being said, Spy vs. Spy, 1961 is when it started. A lot of people say it was kind of fashioned after the Cold War, the Soviet Union, United States. And basically, they would go back and forth every week, and one week the white would win, and the next week the black spy would win, and just they did funny stuff, and they were just basically the two biggest adversaries that were going on. So, but again, if you were growing up my era, I loved these guys, Mad Magazine, Alfred Newman, the whole nine yards. I almost felt a little tinge of guilt then when I put something. I was like, yeah, it's not the most wholesome entertainment in the world. But then I thought about it in today's context, and actually Mad Magazine, sad to say, is pretty mild compared to what we see in today's society. So, but yeah, that being said, we're going to be talking today about, and the title of the day would be Adversity and Adversaries. And these two guys were some of the biggest adversaries, although fictional, and that I could think of to kind of start off this morning's message. As we get into the message this morning, and we review and look at the main scripture this morning that was up there, there were a couple reasons I picked this scripture this morning. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. So again, this is obviously pointing out the devil as one of the biggest adversaries that is referred to in the Bible. We see in many scripture, here it refers to him as a roaring lion, that will seek to devour you. And we think about in the context of some of the, when we talk about, as I try to tie this in with some of the things we face today in society, some of the things that we face are out to devour us. They will consume us. They will completely change our lives. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Jesus Christ, after that ye have suffered a while, make your perfect, established strength and settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. So we're going to be talking about adversaries, and one of the biggest stories in the Bible that I which really took me down the path of what I wanted to talk about this morning was Job, the story of Job, the book of Job. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was perfect and upright and one that feared God. So my take on Job was this man was God-fearing, upstanding citizen, and basically he gained God's favor. Would have been for his time extremely wealthy, ton of land, livestock, servants, big family, happy family, wife, children. And this is an example of how God took care of someone that basically said, I am yours, God, do with me as you will. I will speak your name, I will speak your word, I will teach others. He was an upstanding, God-fearing Christian for his time. But you are all forged of lies. You're all physicians of no value. Job ran into some problems. Basically, Satan said, boy, this is a good opportunity for me to make a point. And Satan says to the Lord, I think the only reason that Job is such an upstanding, God-fearing Christian is because you've given him everything. He has no hardships in life. Why shouldn't he praise you? You look out for him. You give him everything he wants. So God says, All right. I don't think you're correct, but I'm going to go ahead and give you the okay. So God signs off, basically. Says, have at it. I don't think you're correct. I think that Job is going to withstand whatever you throw at him. So over the first day after Satan is given permission, picture this all coming to you in your life and today. Separate reports. All his sheep, all his servants, 10 children, all dead. Various forms, disasters, hands of thieves, robbers. Put that in the context of life today. You're a good Christian, you come to church, you praise God, you talk about God, you share his name. But you've got it pretty good. You got a good life. You got a decent car. You're getting to work. You got a decent job. Bills are getting paid. It's all good. Life's good. It's easy to praise God. And then can you imagine the horror? I mean, none of us are in that bracket up here where we've got, you know, any, you know, butlers and maids and all that stuff. I don't, but, you know, could you imagine if you had 3, 4, 5 children, all losing all of them? We hear stories of that in today's society. It's happened. Sometimes in World War II, there were numerous examples. There's examples of people traveling, maybe a family on the same plane. But here you are at home, and somebody comes to you and says, all 10 of your children are gone. All of your livestock, all of your wealth is gone. Hey, Bill, just wanted to get, you know, get a call at work. Your family just died in a car accident. Oh, and by the way, your house just burned to the ground with everything in it. What will we do? So that was basically what Satan wanted to find out. What's Job going to do? One of the pictures I remember from Sunday school growing up, that the story of Job was of him tearing his clothing off and his bald head. Because in anguish, that's what Job did. Obviously, very sad, very sorrowful at this point. And he basically, God, why? But he withstands, you know, the attack from Satan and says, you know what? I still put my faith in God. That is where I need to put my faith, and that is where more now than ever I need to go for strength. So again, Satan's goes to God and says, well, let me try again. All right. Job is given terrible sores this time. Can you imagine the pain that this man may have been experiencing? I'm sure Satan didn't take it easy on him. Obviously, he wants to win this little contest. He wants to prove his point. It's easy to be a good Christian when you've got everything and life is good. But boy, would that make a point? Wouldn't that put something in his favor? Yeah, God, you know what? These people only like you because they, you know, you make it easy on them. You give them what they want in life. And this time, even his wife is like, come on, Job. God has forsaken you. He's not there for you anymore. It's time to move on. It's time to say, okay, you know what? You had what you had because you had it because of you, because you've earned it, not because of God. So Job's struggling at this point. And he goes and spends 7 days with three men who, three of the trickiest names in the Bible, there's a lot of them, Eliphaz, Bildad, and Zophar. I believe I'm pretty close on the pronunciation. Roger, tell me how close I got later, all right? I know you know that one. So picture this. He's together with these three men, and they're giving him all kind of bad advice. Zophar even suggested that He brought it all upon himself. That was his fault that all these tragedies befell him. He says, you might even deserve worse than what you got. Picture that in today's society. I've just had all these tragedies befall me. And I decide to get together with three of my Christian brothers, looking for some guidance, looking for some help. A little bit of feedback, guys. What went wrong? What did I do wrong? What should I do? I lost my family. I lost everything. And I hate to say it, but in this case, potentially, he was getting some bad advice. And this is where we have to remember in life that sometimes people around us may take us down the wrong paths, that sometimes the advice we are given is not always correct advice. At the end of the day, Job felt like he needed to get together with those men and talk it through and look for some guidance and some help. But really, at the end of it, Job realized that he needed to go to God. And this is the part that kind of threw me off when I looked at the scripture, and this is where he finally decided that, listen, I'm not listening to these guys anymore. They're giving me bum advice. Even now, behold, my witness is in the heavens, and he that vouches for me is in the heights. So he basically is at this point assuming, I don't get it. I don't know how it all works. I don't understand God completely. I'm really kind of thinking, hey, somebody's got my back up there. Somebody's looking out for me. Somebody's speaking to God on my behalf. That was my interpretation of the book of Job. And when kind of Job came to this place where, man, I'm confused. I don't know what to do. I don't know how it all works. God is beyond my capability to understand and grasp. Is really, and think about that. Do we get to that point in life where, okay, now I got all this bad advice from my friends. I don't know what to do anymore. I don't know how to approach God. I don't understand how it works. We have a lot more time and history under our belt, so to speak. For better or for worse, in a lot of cases, because we've talked about this in the past, all the different denominations and different interpretations that have come out of the scripture. But we have the blessing that we have been able to spend a little bit more time interpreting the Bible, talking about the Bible. In itself, we've become more educated and our eyes are a lot more open than they were back then. When we think in terms of where astrology was at and how people studied the stars and how many religions still worshiped idols and false prophets. Not that that doesn't happen today, but again, we've come a long way. And although I don't claim to understand God in terms of exactly what he is and what he looks like, where he resides. I have my opinions. I won't share them because that's a pretty deep conversation. That would be at least a couple separate messages. But back then, it was a little bit harder to grasp God, I think, than it is for us today. So this is where Job's going now. He's leaning on the fact that, okay, somebody else is out there looking out for me. Basically comes to the conclusion, listen, my Redeemer lives, and in the end, he will stand upon the earth. And that's where he kind of finds his comfort at the end of the day. You know, rather than looking for someone else to plead his case for him, he puts his faith in the fact that the Redeemer lives and will once again stand upon the earth. You know, some of the things that really swayed Job and really tested his faith is something that we deal with a lot in today's society with social media and news being so quick and instantaneously. We hear about tragedy instantly. You can wake up and your phone might have three alerts on it of something that happened in another time zone hours ago, but you're going to hear about it first thing in the morning when you wake up. Hundreds of people killed in a plane crash, a typhoon. tornadoes, hurricanes, town that completely was caught off guard, unexpected. The forecasts were wrong. Number of children died in it. And this is some of the things that Job struggled with. That one of those things that we struggle with a lot about why evil within people thrives, evil in our world thrives. Why the devil, why Satan still has the power he has. But in light of all that, in light of the fact that he was really having a hard time, he maintained his faith. Even his wife, again, picture that in your life. Okay, you faced all these tragedies. You lost all your children. You lost all your wealth. Your home's gone. And your wife says to you, really? So one of the people that you're most counting on, as Job was probably one of the few things he had left in life, woman he loves, says, really? You're still hanging on? But he did. He did everything he could and said, you know what? I'm going to steer clear. I'm not going down that path. I'm going to remain righteous. I'm putting my faith in God. God eventually intervenes, as we know at the end of the story, speaks to Job. Job gets his health back. He gets twice as much land, new kids, lives a long life, according to Scripture. So all is well. So again, we think about that today when we think about some of the adversity, some of the tragedy we face in our life. Would we be a Job? Touch and go. But yet, at the end of it, still putting our faith in God. You know, and basically proving to Satan that in Job's case, it wasn't just about the fact that God was looking out for him and took care of him and gave him wealth and a good family. It was truly that Job loved God, and no matter what happened in his life, and no matter what he faced, what tragedies, what adversities, what adversaries, Satan trying to devour him in this case, really just basically doing everything he could to turn him away from God. But again, eventually God comes to him and says, you know what? You withstood it, you proved my point, and I'm going to restore everything to you and give you back all those things that Satan took away. I think in terms of some of the, you know, when we talk about those adversaries and Satan devouring us and being the lion in the Scripture this morning when we talked about it, what do we use to help us overcome those things in life when Satan basically decides to tempt us and see if he can take us away from God? I would go so far as to say on a small scale, at least once a week probably in my life. You know, there's all those times when something happens and you're going, really, God? What did I do? Do I deserve this? You know, I feel bad, you know, sometimes, and it's like, really? You just, that split second, you're just like with Job. He's just really fighting. He's struggling. But yet, hopefully, at the end of the day, we, in fact, turn our attention back to God more so, which I think in most cases with a Christian, really, that's the direction you're going to go, hopefully, because that's where you are going to find your strength. Proverbs 17:17, talking about adversity, I thought this was one of the best scripture I found that really helped and really put it in context of why we come to one of the reasons I talked about why we come to church on a Sunday. A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. I got a lot of friends in this building. We all do. And I think those people are what help us when we face that adversity as well. Because if we start to, as Job did, question things, sometimes you're going to need somewhere for some strength to help you understand and get you back on track and get you back in touch with God and what he means in your life so that you don't fall off that cliff, so to speak. In closing, I think I might have used this scripture once before, but man, Psalms, really, just so comforting. I think that's really a lot of what Psalms is about. I was pushed back, about to fall, but the Lord helped me. The Lord is my strength and my defense. He has become my salvation. Psalm 118, 13, 14. So when you're at that point, ready to fall off that cliff, your back's up against the wall, maybe it's a major tragedy, maybe it's a minor tragedy, maybe it's I lost my job and I don't know what I'm going to do next. Maybe it's that adversary, maybe it's that person that, as we've talked about a lot in the past few weeks, about loving your neighbor and forgiving your enemies. Maybe it's that person that's just pushing you to the limit and you just can't do what God's telling you to do, to love him and forgive him. So whether it's, you know, the adversity in your life, an adversary in your life, at the end of the day, fall back on the Lord. He's your strength. He's your defense. That's where you're going to find your salvation, when you have those tough days that Satan throws at you. As always, hopefully you can take something away this week, and when you do face those times, maybe in a perfect world you don't have any of those times this week, but it is a tough world out there, so sometimes you don't realize that maybe it's you being tested a little bit, so it's always good to kind of be wary of the fact that somebody might be trying to throw something your way to take you away from God. If you would please, as we stand and sing, if anybody has any needs of the church, please come forward. If anybody needs to be baptized in the name of Christ, as always, it is available behind me. Thank you.